Welcome to your go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming.
Wait for it.
Anime.
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Wait For It Podcast. I am your co-host, Phil Smith, aka Phil the Filipino. And joining me as always is your other co-host, Mr. Eric Almighty. And Eric, we are here with the April edition of the Creator Spotlight as we have continued to keep this train rolling. It's been a whole lot of fun and we've gotten to talk to some new friends and meet some new people and hear about what they are all about. But this month, we are bringing in a friend that we have known for quite some time now that we have had the immense pleasure of meeting through the convention circuit. And honestly, this is a long time coming. So I'm glad that we were able to get her on today, Eric, and excited for this conversation. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, I know it's going to be a lot of fun. It's really interesting how this phased approach to our friendship with our guest has really turned out to be. We were just kind of like, hi, neighbor, over at the conventions. Then it was, oh, we're doing this cosplay contest together. All right, well, you're pretty cool. Then it's like, let's go do this thing with some other cosplayers, with some other friends. Let's go hang out. And now we're like, you know what? Why haven't we invited you on the podcast? So without further ado, we have Sid, aka Caught Redheaded, here with us, who is ready. There she is. Ready to go.
Nervous.
Sid, how are you doing?
Nervous.
Oh, how are you?
Nervous. I'm not gonna be anything but nervous. I'm so sorry. No, I'm great. No. I'm great. Thank you guys so much for having me on here. Yeah, you guys were so cool when I met you at the convention, so I'm really excited to do this now. And nervous.
And nervous. The theme of the episode, but I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I think the cool thing about what we do with Creator Spotlight is we really get to not only shine you to our audience and to other people who are interested in what you create, but then we also get to have a lot of fun. So I'm really excited for the back half of this episode when we really get into that. But kind of kicking things off, Sid, I want to talk to you a little bit about what you do. And if you want to just let our audience know, people who have maybe heard about you through the grapevines, through us, we mention you, but what do you actually do? Like, what do we see you do at the conventions? What do you do on your day to day? And tell us a little bit about Caught Redheaded and everything you got going on with that.
I don't know. I guess the easiest way to boil it down is content creation. I do mainly cosplay. That's what I'm, I suppose, most known for. Usually like Instagram, Twitter / X route. But yeah, I do silly cosplays. I dress up as characters for the most part. And then other than that, I do stream on Twitch. I'm not as well known for that, but I am having a really great time on there. So there's that. Other than my day-to-day is very boring, so I won't bore you with all of that. I really just mostly sit around and play video games. Unless I do actually decide to get out and touch grass every once in a while. But yeah, I think that's kind of pretty much a wrap for me in terms of what I do. Just like to cosplay as characters that I enjoy. Sometimes watch anime, very rarely. That's about it, though.
Yeah, and you just celebrated, what, like 5 years?
I think it was actually. Twitch? It kind of like snuck up on me, and it never really felt like much of a, what's the word, an achievement, I guess. But then I kind of started to really think about it, and I was like, it's not really an achievement for me, because streaming for 5 years doesn't, to me, it doesn't seem like a major thing, because it's, I just get on, and I just do it. And then I don't even do it every day. I've been very infrequent for like the past 5 years doing my streams and stuff. But then I was like, it's more of an achievement for the community, because I actually can say now that I do have a little bit of a community, and it makes me really happy to think about. And I never had really thought about it before that. And then the 5 years came around and I was like, oh guys, I'm so sorry. I didn't really plan anything for this, because it doesn't really feel like an achievement. And then like the day after I was like, but it is, just not necessarily just for me. So that was really cool to experience and actually think about it in that way.
Yeah, you know, you got to celebrate those wins when you when you can. And, you know, with Eric and I, who have been, I think we're approaching 4 or 5 years with the podcast. I mean, any type of content creation is a lot of work. And, you know, you say that you are just, you know, playing video games and hanging out. But as someone who we literally just started our Twitch journey. So me and a friend have been doing the Twitch streams on the Way Forward podcast page. And the amount of work that went into that just to get prepared gives me a whole new level of appreciation for what you do and for what other people do on Twitch. And then things just go wrong audio wise out of the blue, out of nowhere, and you have to fix it on the fly. Thank goodness there have been like four people in there to tell me, hey, something's wrong. Shout out to my sister and Joanne and Briar, and who is one of our patrons who has been checking out the stream. So yeah, don't sell yourself short. Like, it is a huge achievement. And like you said, to build that community, even if it is a smaller community, it's great. So what kind of made you take that first leap? Because we've had Soup Ninjaha on, Sophie, on before, and we asked her about her, you know, cosplay journey. What kind of introduced you to this whole world, and what made you say, hey, I really want to do this. I want to express my fandom in this way.
So I definitely didn't even know cosplay was a thing until well past high school, honestly. I believe I did my first cosplay when I was like 20. So I was already like, you know, a lot older, not like that I'm old at 20 or anything, but a lot older than a lot of people start these days, because it's more like a well-known hobby at this point. A lot of people do it and a lot of conventions happen now. But I had no idea it even existed until about my 20s, because I just, this is going to date me even more, but like I found cosplay on Facebook. I play a game called League of Legends, which I'm unfortunately sure a lot of people have heard of. And it led me to seeing a cosplayer that I really enjoyed, who really inspired me to finally cosplay, because I wanted to go to my first convention to actually meet her. And I was like, oh, it'd be really cool to make a cosplay and then me and my friends go and stuff. So I got a couple of friends together and we all like wore a cosplay from Fairy Tail, and we went to what our first convention was, Dragon Con 2013. Oh my gosh. And it was wild. It was nothing like what I ever had imagined it would be. And I definitely enjoyed the process of making the cosplay. It was super difficult, but I was always like a creative art student in school, and I never really had a way after high school to direct my creativity. So it ended up going into cosplay, which was also really great. And then on top of that, like, I wouldn't say necessarily that making the cosplay got me into cosplay, but wearing it to the convention and being stopped every 30 seconds to have photos of our Fairy Tail group, even though in hindsight, it was an abysmal cosplay. But like just being stopped by people and just having people recognize us and think that we looked awesome and, you know, just excited to see us and stuff like that, I just instantly addicted. Instantly. It was just, this is so cool. It's cool. It's also cool too, because I came from like a really small town that no one ever talked about stuff like that. I even discovered anime, not like terribly late, but like I realized what anime was in my teens. Not even in like, you know, preteens or anything like that. So when I came across that and really started to develop a love for that and became kind of a weird kid because of it, you know, it's not something you really talk about much then at school. So you don't really have a lot of friends who are also into it. And then you go to a convention where there's thousands of people who all recognize you, know who you are, and like want to talk to you or have a photo. How can I not be excited to do it over and over again?
I think that makes a lot of sense, you know, and there's a reason you keep coming back to these conventions, right? Like, we love seeing you and a lot of the gang that's there. We also love meeting a lot of new cosplayers. So just out of curiosity, like, what is that relationship with your fellow cosplayers when you go to these conventions and you see this mass scale? You know, streaming is one thing. You get a deeper appreciation over time for that. But you get that real life, real world, in the now, like, appreciation at some of these events. How has that really changed your relationship with your other cosplayers? And have you noticed they kind of see the same thing too?
I don't know exactly how to answer what you're saying, but I suppose you maybe mean just connection with other cosplayers at conventions anyway?
Yeah, because you've got a lot of your cosplayers, you know, friends, people that you've built strong bonds with. And obviously doing that in person is so much bigger. So like, how has that relationship been with the other cosplayers that you meet, whether it's someone new or someone that you've been friends with for years and you just get to see them in person for a few days over the weekend? Like, how is that vibe?
Oh, yeah. It's the best. Like, it took a long time to make a lot of friends in the cosplay community, especially because, like, again, me coming from a small town and stuff like that, smaller area, not as many conventions, and if they are, they're not as, you know, large, and also not people my age that I, you know, really want to hang around and stuff. So it definitely took a while to actually make friends, and then I usually made a lot of those through social media, but then seeing them in person was just like, wow, like, for the first time. Really nerve-wracking, though. I know I don't always seem like it to a lot of people, especially if people do see me in person at the conventions that I guest at. I do seem to put on, like, a very bubbly, talkative personality, and I can do it. Obviously, there's a social battery aspect to it, but, like, I can do it, but I'm a really shy person. So, like, I'm always, like, people that I know and people that I don't know, like, if I know you, it'll be way easier for me to be like, oh my God, you look so beautiful. You look stunning. Like, the cosplay is amazing. Like, stuff like that. And I love hyping people up. Like, I don't do it enough because I get really nervous about being like too much, but I love hyping people up. And one of my favorite things to do that I actually do not do enough of at convention is, like, when people are taking photos, I love to be the person there helping. I love to be the cape flipper. I love to be the hair fixer. I love to be like, oh, your eyelash is a little, like, let me fix that. I love that so much. So I don't get to do that enough because I am very awkward around new people, and even sometimes still people that I do know. Social anxiety and stuff still really gets to me, even if I can make it easier to talk to people. But especially like when I meet new people at conventions, or even if I know them through social media, I'm way more reserved the first few times around. Honestly, I'm sure that you guys may even have realized that, because when you guys first met me, I was way more reserved, and then we went out that one night and it was so fun and I finally kind of let loose a little bit. So like, that is how I am. I'm very, very like reserved until I can kind of, like, lack of a better term, gauge the energy, like what is appropriate in the social situation. I don't want to overwhelm anybody. But besides that, meeting new people at conventions, I'm always just like, God, that cosplay is so beautiful. And I just like, to my friends, I'm like, I want to go tell her she looks amazing. Or I want to go tell them they look amazing. Like, that outfit is, how do they make that? I want to know. And I'm just like, oh, I can't do it. And then I'm just like, maybe I'll ask them for a photo. No, I won't do that. And I'm just like, I never do. So I'm very regretful of situations like that when it comes to like really meeting new people. But I'm more so like worried about how they're going to feel about me. Just approaching them and being obnoxious or annoying. But I do really like to meet new people. That's actually kind of why I like guesting so much, is because it's nice to have people approach me and ask me stuff, because then it gives me the ability to feel comfortable actually talking back to them about whatever they're interested in talking about. It makes me feel like they have the ability to walk away whenever they want if I get annoying. So I don't want anybody else in the other situations to feel like they have to talk to me just because I'm, you know, talking to them at a convention. But anyway, guesting is just great for that, because I get to do the talking when I actually feel comfortable doing so. I hope that answered that question. I don't know. I'm good at rambling.
No, you did great.
The irony.
You did
great. The irony of my personality.
I think we moved on from the nervous, like, 3 minutes that we started with. So we're good. We are doing great.
And you kind of touched on something that I wanted to ask you, because Eric and I go through this as well, where you have to, in the weeks leading up to the convention, like, there's a lot of, obviously, preparation when it comes to your cosplay and everything like that. But the mental part of it, I think, is just as important. Like, we currently, Eric and I are kind of waiting on some news, and like, it's making me a little anxious because I don't know like what's going on. And, you know, once we get that news, once we get those confirmations, everything kind of settles down and everything. So what do you do to kind of mentally prepare for that? Because like you said, you know, you have to be on the whole weekend. Like, Eric and I understand that, you know, like, we want to take a break, but it's literally panel after panel, and you're constantly making a first impression to new people all the time. So like, what do you do to mentally prepare for the weekend?
I quite literally just zone out and try not to think about it. Usually I am more excited and I don't really focus on like the super nervous aspects of it, or the things that would make me nervous. But more than anything, I'm really bad at dealing with stress. I kind of just ignore it which is not the best. Don't do what I do. It is not the best. So I usually just kind of lose myself in video games, or I lose myself in the cosplay that I'm making, so I don't have time to think about anything that might make me nervous or anything like that. Or that, or just like planning stuff with friends is also really exciting. So it is very great, especially when I am going to guest conventions and stuff, that I know that there's going to be people there that I know. So like, if I do get overwhelmed or anything like that, I do have other people there to like back me up and make me feel better, or, you know, just help me out in general. So that's definitely always a bonus.
Yeah, and I think when you're passionate about stuff, it really makes it easy to do it on a day-to-day basis. Is there, what is like that, here's what I'll ask. What is the cosplay you feel the proudest about in any genre, right? Gaming, anime, anything like that. And what is your holy grail cosplay that you're either too afraid to touch or you want to do, like you have to do before you're done cosplaying, you know, by the end of it. So what is your favorite to this point? Mm-hmm. And what's that holy grail? What's the one you're, you know, either afraid to do or you're excited to do at some point?
My favorite definitely changes over time, I have to say. Everything that I have a favorite of changes over time, because I'm very much a, ooh, shiny kind of person. So most of the time, the ones that I recall are ones that I've done more recently. But the one I always kind of go back to, which I don't even think is an accurate one to choose, is Yoko. Yoko was my third cosplay I ever did, and I've revamped it like 3 times since then. But I think the reason why I'm so proud of it is I used actual like wood and wood tools and MDF and stuff like that to make her gun. So it's like a massive 30-pound like sniper rifle made out of wood. So that makes me really proud. But there's a lot of other cosplays that I've been super proud of that I've made since Yoko. Alexstrasza. And there was another one I just thought of and I forgot. Oh yeah, Yuna from Final Fantasy X, because I love Yuna. Yuna was probably, before I even knew what cosplay was, she would have been my first cosplay had I had the abilities to make that at the time and felt confident to do so. As for my holy grail cosplay, Sylvanas. Sylvanas from World of Warcraft. I love her so much. I'm so scared to touch her. It's actually why I made Alexstrasza in the first place. I like Alexstrasza a lot. She does not compare to Sylvanas. I just think Sylvanas is just, oh, she's amazing. And I just want to do it so perfectly. I know I'm not going to do it perfectly the first time around, but I just want it to be like as flawless as it can be. So I attempted Alexstrasza to try to get some more skill to eventually be able to cosplay Alexstrasza, but it's going to be a nerve-wracking day even when I do complete it and wear it. I'm probably still going to be like, this has to be perfect. It's going to be like my wedding day, except for like, you know, this is way more important.
Oh, man. So I think, you know, with your cosplay experience, everything we've kind of talked about, I think this is a great opportunity for us to transition into a couple of pop culture related things that we like to talk about, right? And obviously, you mentioned a couple of things that we're very passionate about. You've got anime, of course, you've got video games. So I'll take the anime front. What is that kind of history with you? I know you mentioned you don't get to watch a lot of anime now, but especially getting to look at a lot of your cosplays that you've done at events we've been to, and even what you post on social media, I mean, there's definitely a love for that medium. What is your relationship with anime? How'd you kind of get introduced to it? And is it something that you do still find passion in? Or do you find yourself kind of doing it because you're at the cons?
Oh, no, I love anime. I love anime so much. The reason that I limit myself from watching anime these days, due in part also because of time and having the time to watch a lot of stuff. And then also, like, I cannot watch something on a week-to-week basis. I have to binge it all in one go. So anyway, that is definitely, like, the reason why I don't have enough time is I can't binge it all in one go. But I limit myself because the ooh shiny aspect, if I see a new character that I like, I'm like, oh, I gotta cosplay that now. And I can't do that. I can't keep doing that to myself. So I've had to really limit the anime that I watch. As far as what got me into anime, I mean, I'd always watch stuff on like Toonami and things like that. I never really knew what I never knew it was anime though. And even still, there were, like, English dub animes that were introduced to me through, it was like, 4Kids or something, I think, is when I really started to know what it was. My first anime that I really realized was anime and actually threw me into the world was Tokyo Mew Mew, which I have a dedicated shelf right here. My first adult money, I bought this weapon, and this is the main character's weapon. That was my first adult money purchase because I was like, I can't not have this. That was what got me into anime. It was actually one of my first tattoos, too. There's a tattoo she has. Her name's Ichigo, but she has a tattoo. So, yeah, that one, I have a massive love for it. Still, even though it is absolutely not something that I would ever watch again, but to this day, it's just so much nostalgia. And then after that, I finally was like, oh, this is what anime is. I should look more into this, and started watching more stuff. You know, the old YouTube 12-part anime series every, like, five minutes per upload. the 320p update or upload
Phil,
day. You know,
Phil
kind of
honestly
stuff.
Doesn't understand. He's got everything on Crunchyroll. He started his anime journey late. So I always envy him because we had it hard.
What are you talking about? You started watching anime like 5 minutes before me.
It was definitely not 5 minutes, but I am being dramatic.
Because you watched Dragon Ball. Hey. I was just watching Pokemon and Digimon and Yu-Gi-Oh! Again, stuff that I didn't realize was anime at the time. And yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. But that is how I watched Bleach, though, is because I didn't know where it was streaming. So I found like some obscure website that had like a bunch of episodes uploaded somewhere to like YouTube, to like some mystery YouTube server that probably gave my laptop a virus, but it's okay. I got to watch some of Bleach, so it's fine.
It's all worth it if you're watching Bleach.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, and then we talked about your how you spend, you know, some of your other time, Sid, when you talk about gaming, and obviously we talk about the Twitch streaming. What are some of the games that you've just really loved streaming on Twitch, whether it was because it made for really good interaction when it comes to like the chat and the people and your community that's in there, or just a game that you just like really enjoyed, whether it be newer or older?
First thing that comes to mind is Lethal Company, just because it was really popular for a period of time, but also it was just so funny and it was nice to play with other creators. I'd played other games like Among Us with other creators and I had a decent time doing that. It could be a little rough sometimes when you're playing with other content creators, because, you know, everybody trying to speak at once and stuff kind of thing. But that's the first thing that comes to mind, unfortunately. I do wish that I had been able to finish a lot more games, like more long playthrough games. I haven't done a lot of those. I wish I had, but that is the first one that comes to mind. I've played so many games on stream. I mean, obviously 5 years of streaming, I've played a ton of games, but that is unfortunately the one that comes to mind right now. Cannot think of anything else for the life of me, though.
Well, I mean, that's a great answer because, like you said, playing with other people, we're in this space now where single and double A games, and Eric, we've talked about this very recently, they're putting out like amazing content where like a Lethal Company, a Helldivers, you know, games like that are shining, whereas, you know, the traditional games, the Call of Duties, the, you know, those mainstream games are putting out copy and paste crap over and over again. And now the industry is, and now us, the consumer, is saying, we don't want that. We want something innovative. We want something that we can play with our friends. And those are the games that are really shining right now, which is great. So that's a really good answer. Eric, we definitely had our Among Us phase during the pandemic, and not even with content creators, just our friends. It was impossible to like speak over people. So that can definitely be a lot. I imagine that it would be a lot to do on stream. We just started, me and our friend of the show, Jordan, we started doing the Walking Dead Telltale series, and we like are kind of going through together and making decisions together. So we're going through that, and that's been pretty fun. So it's a little difficult because there's like a little bit of a lag when you share the gameplay in Discord with like with the person that's in there, but it's been fun. So yeah, we're going to try out some long form games like that, but also play, you know, some multiplayer stuff. Like we have like Pico Park on our calendar and games like that. That'll just be a lot of fun, and I think we'll make for like good content. So
yeah,
I think it's good to find like a mix. Like I think Kendall's in the midst of Red Dead right now, I think, right? That's what she's been playing. That's been really funny to watch. So yeah, well, what about just even off stream? Like, what are some of your favorite games that have resonated with you? You know, we talked about before we started, talked about WoW, talked about League of Legends. Everybody that plays League of Legends, they always tell me, don't ever play League of Legends. So are you also in that camp?
Never play League of Legends. Never do it. Like I said, I started playing like a little after high school, and I stopped for 2 years, and then my friends kept hounding me to play.
Oh, you got out.
Yeah, so I did. I got out. And they were like, no, you got to play with us. You got to play with us. And I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And then I finally broke in like 2022 or something like that, I think. Or maybe it was 2021. And when I broke, they never played. So I just play by myself now for the most part. Well, not entirely by myself, but yeah, honestly, I play an unfortunate amount of League of Legends offline, or off stream rather. It's not the only game I play, but I do play a lot of it. I think most of the games I play now, though, I do play on stream. Just because, like, I most of the time, I feel like if I'm going to play a game, I should just go ahead and stream it. And then I am trying to be more consistent lately, so most of the games that I am interested in playing, I do happen to either start on stream, and I'm like, well, I want the continuity. I want everybody to see what happens. So I want to keep playing. Oh, that's what? Pacific Drive. Oh, man. I've really been enjoying Pacific Drive. Have you guys heard or seen anything about that one?
Just what I've seen, like, very briefly while you've streamed. That's all I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Phil, we obviously, we talked in the pre-show about our friends over at Your Friendly Neighborhood Gamers, previously Level Playing Field, and they do a fantasy credit draft every year, and we've joined that the last 2 years. Somebody picked Pacific Drive, and that got on my radar as a game to kind of look at, because I was hoping it would do bad. Someone else picked it, so it was kind of like a draft thing. But then when I heard it was good, I saw some video on it, and it looks awesome. It seems streamable, very streamable.
Yeah, that was our friend Jay, Super Bracket Bros, who will be on this week's episode of, what did I miss, the bonus episode. They got 10 points for Pacific Drive, so it was a good pick.
It's a really good one. It's actually not even a game I really thought I would like. I also played, what is it called? Outer Wilds. So I played Outer Wilds, and if you know anything about Outer Wilds and you know anything about Pacific Drive, the games are not, they're not, like, comparable, I would say. But to me, for some reason, I got, like, an Outer Wilds vibe. I guess it's because you're just, like, alone in, like, a, for lack of a better term, like, a liminal space, and you only have so much control over what's happening in that space.
I think atmosphere-wise, really, they're very similar. They don't look alike, but, like, atmosphere-wise, they're on the same plane.
I think that's why. I think that is exactly why I started to feel. So I played Outer Wilds first, really enjoyed it, and then not that this is a like an actual car game or whatever, but I never would have looked at any game like with a car, besides Need for Speed, but that's another story, and been like, oh, I really want to play this game, and that kind of thing. But no, this one absolutely sold me, and I still love it, and I actually really need to finish it still because I'm really enjoying it. I want to get further in the story, but it does freak me out, and I do not like scary games. So it's not really a scary game. It's just so suspenseful that it's like the build up until something happens, and then you just turn around and something's there, and it's just like, I hate moving rocks. And I say that because Outer Wilds had so many moving rocks that did nothing but just exist. And I hated it. And that's why I can't stand Pacific Drive 2, because they don't have the moving rocks. They have the moving mannequins. And those are just as terrifying, if not more so.
Yeah, and those suspenseful games can sometimes be even scarier because you don't think it's baked into the actual game, so whenever the horror elements do pop up, it just makes it even more terrifying. So, like, every, like, single-player story game will have, like, that one horror level, and you're like, well, shit, I gotta get through this. Now, this is gonna be fantastic. I can't wait. Getting through, obviously, this is a horror game, but you know this, Eric. Getting through The Last of Us Part 2 for me was rough. It took me some time to get through that game, man.
It's a tough one. Yeah, no, I've always wanted to get into streaming just for the simple fact that sometimes I don't want to experience things alone. And I think that's a huge part of video games. You know, Sid, is there something that, you know, as you kind of look in pop culture in general, you know, we talked a little bit about anime, talked a little bit about video games. Is there anything you find yourself like kind of experiencing and that you enjoy, even a medium in general, but it could be something you went to a movie recently, you really enjoyed it, you picked up a book. Like, what other type of things in pop culture are you checking out? For example, Phil knows, I'm not the biggest TV show guy. The medium of TV is difficult sometimes because I love the time span of anime. But TV, like, you're looking at like 45 minutes to an hour to tell a story. I'm enjoying the hell out of the Fallout series that just came out based off the game. And no complaints here at all. So not normally my medium. What is something that you've really enjoyed, or a couple things that you've enjoyed, or do you kind of stay in those lanes with anime, video games, etc.?
I have a tendency, it seems, to kind of switch off between about three things, like kind of like putting a lot of myself and my energy into about three things. And those three things are, of course, as we know, video games and cosplay, and then also reading. I read a lot, and I say a lot because it's also one of those things that I have to kind of limit myself, especially since I do content creation slash, you know, obviously streaming and cosplaying and stuff full time. I guess reading is kind of more of a just solely relaxing and just, you know, having something to keep to myself and unwind with. But because I you know, I let stress get to me sometimes really easily, I have a tendency to want to just rot in bed reading a book for like 3 or 4 days, like over and over again. And it's unfortunate, though. I haven't read anything recently, but I do really enjoy it. Mostly like fantasy. I hate saying it, but like young adult fiction sometimes. But it's really just the stories. It's not even that the character writing is usually freaking horrible, if I'm being honest. But the actual world building can be so good sometimes. But yeah, I haven't read anything in a while, but I do have a tendency to dive headlong into reading.
Does that
well.
Possibly mean that you haven't read it, My Dress Up Darling? Have you put that down? Didn't pick it up? You jumped into it?
No, I actually, so, okay, that's My Dress Up Darling right there. Those books there. I had bought all of the new ones every time they came out, and they were just sitting there on my shelf. Part of me was like, I don't want to touch them because they're in plastic wrap and I want to keep them fresh and young forever. But finally I kind of let that go and was like, no, I'm tired of waiting for the new season. It's still going to be a little while until we get it. I really enjoyed it. I honestly really like Gojo. I really, really like Gojo. He's just such a, like, I don't know. He's just great. So I was like, I want to see more of like their relationship developing and that kind of thing, because it's super cute and wholesome, even though honestly, if you've read the manga, it's not that wholesome, but the relationship aspect to me is wholesome. So I'm just like, oh, I really want to see more of that. So I finally actually cracked into all of the plastic within the last month or two and read everything that I had. And I'm the latest one actually came out on the 16th, and I've been meaning to go pick it up and I keep forgetting. But you know what? After this, if the store's still open, I'm probably going to run and get it. Thank you so much for reminding me. But yeah, I've been actually waiting on this new one because I'm really excited to see her nun cosplay. I know that some people might have issues with nun cosplays and stuff, but I'm just like, I've wanted to cosplay a nun for so long, and her nun looks so cool. So cool. I'm a big fan of, like, for lack of a better term, juxtaposition of stuff. So like, her nun is like very gothic and like kind of almost vampire-y looking, even though she's not. But I love the juxtaposition of the nun and that kind of look. So I'm really excited about it.
Well, you definitely have a lot more discipline than myself. And now Eric, who is starting to find that as you start to add other things to your rotation, you have less time to do other things that you like. So like with me, of course, you know, I don't watch anime as much as Eric does, but I still have like 2 or 3 shows in rotation. I watch a lot of live action TV. And then I do a lot of gaming. I like to do a lot of gaming just solo. You know, it is my place where I'll just sit back and relax. So like, for instance, I just got made the commitment to a gaming PC. So now I have my PC. I'll sit here and I've just been like rewatching House while playing Pokemon Heart Gold on like an emulator. And it's like perfect. It's I turned the lights down like a little bit low and like I just hang out and chill here and it's fantastic. But then also I'm a big sports fan. So like I got to keep up with all that stuff. And there's just not enough time. And then Eric doesn't he recently has been playing a lot of Helldivers solo. And he's like, well, I have noticed that it's cutting into my anime time. Yes, Eric, when you add something to your rotation, you don't, it doesn't add time for your other hobbies. I hope you understand that now.
No, that's not how that works at all. I should be able to do all the things.
Well, time isn't real, but time's not real, but unfortunately we do have to adhere to the rules of time for some reason. So that's just not how.
Nah, he's lost to the democracy. It's over.
We killed 2 billion Terminators the other night, Phil. You missed it.
Oh.
Did I, though? Oh. Because I'm going to get the reward regardless. So I am supporting you.
That pisses me off so
much. I'm supporting you from afar. I'm administrative in the Helldiver Army. I work HR. I file all your paperwork. You guys are doing great. Customer service, even. I'll do all that.
I was going to say, you'd be the most unfair HR person. You know, Sid,
My brother's died in war. I would like to file a grievance. No, we're not liable for that.
We're not liable. Super Earth. Sid, you know what? That'll just bring up a very random question on the fly. What is, like, the worst 9-to-5 job you've ever had? If you haven't had it, what would it be? But if you have one, what's your worst 9-to-5 job? And you don't have to name the you could say, like, I flipped burgers. Like, you do not have
Let me ask you this. Do you fall in a category where you were either a food service, retail, or customer service, like over a phone? Have you ever done any of those three?
I've done food service. I've done what was the other one you just
retail
said?
Or customer?
Yeah, I've done retail. I've done retail. Fortunately, thank God, I was never a cashier. That absolutely would have been my first answer had I actually been a cashier. But this is kind of hard. I think I had two jobs that I really didn't enjoy, and one of them was Subway. I don't care. I'll name it. It was Subway. But to be fair, it was a franchise, so that could also have been a little bit of it. And then my other one that I would say was my actual last 9-to-5 job. And it was just abysmal because of management and stuff issues. Just horrible, horrible people running it. Well, they weren't horrible necessarily. They were just horrible at running it. Yeah, so I wouldn't say the jobs that I had. I think I had a decent time at the jobs. I do like learning, so I liked learning new things. This was a sample testing facility, so we tested samples for, like, you know, samples of water and stuff like that, soil and all that. It wasn't a bad job. I think I could have managed doing the job. I just, you know, got to a point where I couldn't learn anymore. And then I started to really lose interest, and then everything else that was happening got on my nerves, and, you know, just couldn't handle that anymore. But yeah, those are definitely my two worst jobs that I've had.
Best Buy for me, man. To this day, Eric, to this day, Best Buy was still the worst. And I've had some bad jobs, man, but Best Buy was so poorly run.
Why?
And everybody, it was incredibly cliquish, first and foremost. Everybody, especially in different departments, so every department was kind of like its own group and didn't really, like, mingle together. And also management was just so bad. The guy that hired me actually got fired, like, a couple weeks into me starting there. And I remember, like, on one of his last few days, I asked him a question, and he was like, you're gonna have to ask somebody else, man. I don't care anymore. And I was like, okay, well, that's a wrap for this. I'm not gonna be here much longer. Yeah, still the worst one I've ever had. And I worked at GameStop multiple times, and Best Buy was still worse.
That is telling. I think the worst one for me, Phil, was Aero, and that's Aeropostale in the mall, but that's only because...
Oh.
Not because I didn't have a good time.
No, because Eric can't fold a t-shirt to save his life.
I cannot fold clothes. They didn't figure this out until my last day.
If someone came up to Eric was like, fold this t-shirt or I'll blow your brains out, he'd be like, fucking shoot me. I'm done.
Do they not teach you how to do that?
No.
Yes, they do.
They don't teach you?
There's no way. I did not go through any type of training, Phil. No.
Because they just show you how to do it. There's literally also a board. You could have used the folding board.
Oh, the folding board.
There was a folding board?
I never even worked at a place like this, and I know there's a folding board.
You guys are getting paid?
There's no way.
Oh, no.
No, but Eric and I have somehow worked in the same place together, like, four times. And each time, the two times that were retail, it was like, man, they should have not hired us to work together. But somehow it happened twice. GameStop and Aero. Shout out to them.
Thank God we are working those 9-to-5.
Yeah, shout out to them.
I guess not Arrow, since Eric still doesn't know how to
to this day fold a t-shirt. Do not know how to fold laundry.
You're that. Are you the guy at the convention that looks at a t-shirt, unrolls it, and then doesn't know how to fold it?
What else do you want me to do in that situation? I don't know what else to do.
Hand it back to them. Just hand it back
to
the
person. No, because then I feel bad. No, yeah, just, I'm not going to do
that. I'm sorry. What, so you want to make the job harder by them having to spot the horribly wrinkled shirt laying on a pile?
But not only do I not tell them, but I purposely try to shove it somewhere that isn't visibly seen. So they'll find that out later. Yeah. Don't feel good about it. Phil, you want to... You want to help me recover behavior. Here?
Absolute menace behavior.
No, I don't. I'm going to let you flounder here for a little bit because I'm not going to support this, this behavior. I didn't know that you did that.
It's honestly a shame.
We're gonna just go to the next convention, have a couple of beers, and then just have a t-shirt folding contest.
That'll be fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Bold master.
Worst folder has to drink
actually,
more.
we're gonna can the cosplay contest, and it's going to be...
Bold Matsuri is my birthday con.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Where are we going?
We're going somewhere.
We're going out. I'm sure there'll be a couple of after parties.
So yeah. Yeah. Y'all tell us where you're going. We'll be there. We'll make it a point. I think that's a perfect
hell of a lineup this year, man.
I was gonna say I think that's a perfect really final lineup. Question before we jump into our games. Sid, is there anyone at Bold Matsuri that you're like excited to meet? Obviously, each of these events, we kind of get a little closer look at some of these voice actors. So who you got, if anyone's on your mind?
I'm really bad at names, so I don't know.
Who's the voice actor?
Which character?
I don't even know. I don't remember who's going to be there. I saw somebody. I definitely saw somebody that they were announced earlier. I literally would have to look it up. I'm so for real. And of course, my phone won't open, so I can't do that.
We've been using this.
Hold on, wait.
We got Erica Mendez, Christina V, Brittany Karbowski.
Don't have a clue. I don't know any of these names just
Briner.
Because I'm really bad at their names.
Justin Briner. I'm excited.
They're getting
Justin.
Free promo.
Ooh,
oh, there we go. Look, here you go,
Amberly Connor.
It's on the screen.
Amber Lee Connor, because I love that character so much. That one from JJK, I love her. I actually probably not gonna be able to finish it in time, but I would love
to
wear
that. Yeah, cosplay though. That would be amazing. What else is she in? She's in Genshin, Attack on Titan. Why do I feel like I paid attention to when her name was on here? Oh, she's Komi from Komi Can't Communicate. Let's go. Peak. Okay. All right.
Oh. Nice. I'm super, super bad at names. So, like, there have been VAs that I've, of course, like, loved the characters they've done for years, and I cannot remember their name. I've met the voice actress of Yoko. I've met the voice actress of Nami. I've met these people at these conventions, and I cannot for the life of me remember their names. It is so sad. I've even met like the VA for Bon, and I've gotten these people to sign things for me, and I still can't remember their names. It's so sad. That's how bad I am with names.
That's fair. There are times, especially with Phil, because again, I'm more into the anime verse, where one of us will jump into like, all right, how do you pronounce this name? I hope it's on YouTube. how do you say this? What is their stuff? But then once you get to meet them, they're just so cool and so down to earth. I think that's probably like just the best part about getting to meet them in person.
Yeah, every single person I've ever met at these conventions have been so, so incredibly mind-blowingly nice. Like it is absolutely just blew my mind every single time.
And talk about, you know, mentally preparing. They are at it all day, like nonstop lines. Like I don't know how some of them do it. Eric, you know this. I'm excited to meet Justin so he can re-sign this Deku Funko, because it was before we started doing conventions, and I remember we met him at MegaCon one year, and I was like nervous. I didn't know what to say to him. He was like, do you want me to put anything on it? And it was before like I knew, oh, you can put like a phrase or a catchphrase on there. And I was like, can you put it to Phil? So it just says Phil, like Phil on there in his autograph. I'm like, wow, this is really the most boring one out of all the other ones that I have signed. So I'm really excited for him to have a redo. I might just get a whole new Funko and hide this one, actually, and hide the shame. of that first interaction we had with Justin. Actually, it might have been, was it Dallas or was it MegaCon? It was one of the two. We might have met him at
MegaCon.
Yeah,
it was
Fan
one
Expo
of those Fan Expo ones for sure.
Or MegaCon. Either or. Either way, he was super nice. Yeah, either way, he was so nice. So I'm excited that they got it. We're getting closer to Sabbath, man. Sabbath's coming. I bet you within the next year or two, Christopher Sabbath will be at Bull Matsuri or Brick City.
Potentially. Sid, is there somebody, and you don't have to know the voice actor's name, but like, is there a
name?
I didn't say that. Is there somebody that you is like your wish list, like you've been begging Chris or you would like him to have, like, actually sign up? Like, Christopher Sabbath is a big one for us because we've never been to a con where we've gotten to meet him. Is there someone like that for you, a character out there that you'd want to meet the voice actor for?
So at the last convention, they had almost the entire main cast of Chainsaw Man. They didn't have Makima. And it was really great to meet Denji's VA. Of course, cannot remember his name, but he was so
Ryan.
Nice.
His name's Ryan.
But I want to meet... Yes, thank you. I want to meet... I should remember that. That's my brother's name. I want to meet Makima's VA so bad. Like, if they would have had Makima there, I would have shat myself. I love Makima so much. Like,
she
I would
coming.
Die for that woman. That
she
fictional 2D woman.
Just not for Bull Matsuri.
No!
So...
No! Why can't I actually live yeah, in Florida? So
that is exciting. Yeah, it was really strange because in preparation for Brick City, because, you know, I absolutely love Chainsaw Man. I've really connected with it. I did a lot of research. And typically at conventions, they're all four of them have been together. So I wonder if she was just busy or, you know, she obviously had other commitments, but, you know, hopefully we will get her pretty soon, because, yeah, I would definitely love to meet Makima. I got some stuff for her to sign, but, yeah, it's...
I've got plenty of
so
things for her to
be,
sign.
Interesting to see if they can bring her in. I'm sure Chris is... I bet you even Chris inquired, and she was just probably busy. So, because, like, why not get all four?
That makes sense.
So.
All right, now I think we are at a great point here to transition to game time. So I've got at least one game for us to play, and then we'll see how we feel about a second one. I know we're getting close to that hour mark, so let's jump into it. And, you know, I did try to cater this to be a little fair, so we are going to play a little game of anime debate, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. Let me go ahead here. No, I do not want to show to this. And we are going to jump into our presentation. Let me actually go into full present mode here. Fun stuff.
I have very strong opinions on a lot of anime. So this is going to be fun, actually.
All right. So here is how this is going to work. Friends are lost. Enemies are made. We're going to do a little anime debate. I've got five debates for us to do in the world of anime. Before we get started, here are the rules. Each debater will have 60 seconds to state their argument, so each one of you will have the opportunity to have a debate about your topic. You must make a debate, even if you disagree with it. So there will be two choices. We'll talk about how that goes here in a minute, but whatever choice you're left with, if that is the case, even if you disagree, you gotta debate. During the opposing debate, stay on mute, do not interject. And the winner will have ultimate bragging rights, so you'll be able to rub it in the other person's face live when we get to Bull Matsuri. All right.
Oh, should we bet a drink? Let's bet a shot.
Ooh, I like that. We're feeling good?
Okay, let's do it. I'm not confident, but I'll pay for a drink in the event that
right,
I lose.
Win-win. Either way, we get a drink.
Yeah.
All right, so for our first one, round one. Our guest is going to get to choose first for round one, which anime would be better in live action. So, Sid, do you want to debate for Demon Slayer being the better live action or Spy Family being the better live action if they decided to do that adaptation?
I want to debate for Spy Family.
Okay, Phil, that means you will be left with Demon Slayer. Let's go ahead here. And we will start the timer. Sid, you're going to go first. Spy Family, live action. Why would it be better than Demon Slayer?
I think it would be way better because it's... I think it'd be easier to cast because you don't have to find people who look like children. You can find actual adults and then an actual child. But then I also think it'd be easier because at most you're going to have just regular martial arts and fighting and things like that. I don't really think you're going to need a lot of something like you would need in Demon Slayer, like SFX or something like that. Like you're not going to need a whole lot of like powers and water and fire everywhere when you like do attacks and things like that. So it's just gonna like, I think it'd be a lot more fluid, and you know, it would just go easier because all you have to do is have somebody with super flashy moves and things like that. You don't have to worry about the fire aspects and stuff. I don't know, something like that. It just look better.
All right, that's fair. So I think you're seeding your 4 seconds. You did great. I think once you noticed the time, you were like, oh, there's still like 15 seconds
left. Yeah, I was like, I'm done with my argument, but...
But here we go. Phil, you had it. Why would Demon Slayer live action?
So, like you said, like Sid mentioned, like the special effects would obviously be incredibly key for Demon Slayer. But, I mean, as far as, like, if you're going to make a Demon Slayer live action, you're going to want to commit to making sure that the visuals are as incredible as they are in the anime. So I do feel like that they would tap into the correct team. I mean, this is obviously totally different, but like we saw Godzilla Minus One made on a really small budget. But with Demon Slayer, like you can find teams to make a movie like this work. Also, casting, I think, would be very interesting. That we could probably get, like, I compare it to when Squid Game came out and like we had all of these new faces and new stars made because of that show. Think of the new people that we'd be introduced to because of Demon Slayer. I think they could definitely go with smaller name actors and maybe throw in somebody one big name to be a really good character. But I think Demon Slayer, because of the popularity, would be huge, insanely popular.
I think both of those are great, great arguments. As the host of the game, I do have to pick a winner, and we will see how it shapes up at the end of round 5. For round 1, Demon Slayer would be more popular. However, would they do it better? I think Spy Family is going to take the win here. So, Sid, you've got our first point for round 1, both arguments.
I'm not mad about that one. I was like, man, that's going to be tough.
you know, halfway through that, I realized that I was thinking more about, like, a live-action play and not like a show or a movie.
I would watch Spy X Family theater show.
I would too. I would not watch a Demon Slayer one.
Oh no, my family, they're dead. I don't know how that works.
Is that the song that you just came up with?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. Thank you. I tried. Okay, well, anyway, sure. Round 2. Which new gen anime fandom is less toxic? You are going to have to defend one of these two fandoms. The winner of the last round decides which side they'll argue. So, Sid, you get to choose here. Do you want to defend the My Hero Academia fandom or the Jujutsu Kaisen fandom?
Oh, JJK, absolutely. No, I'm so sorry, right, Phil. Well, I'm so Sid, sorry.
JJK, let's go ahead and defend them. You got 1 minute. Why are they less toxic than the My Hero fandom?
They are so much less toxic because even though I think the demographics are mostly the same, I feel like the JJK demographic in general is already a little bit older than like the My Hero, because like My Hero is, I mean, they're both high school students essentially, but My Hero like started out with children. Like I think that was their demographic, was children, not even like teens. So JJK was like teen demographic. So there's already a little, shockingly, less toxicity there. My Hero, though, they just did some wild things and there's too much drama to even unfold in the next 20 seconds. But JJK also has had less like time to develop right now. So because they've had less development time as well, they're not going to be as toxic, whereas My Hero has been around for 6 years. So it's 6 years of toxicity just marinating and has been marinating. So it's already abysmal.
All right, I love that. All right, Phil, why is the My Hero Academia fandom toxic than the Jujutsu Kaisen fandom?
So I think the argument can be made that the My Hero Academia fandom and the Boku no Hero Academia fandom are two separate things. So if you run into the right person, I think when you're talking about like mainly anime, I think most of those people, especially in the cosplay community, are generally positive. I think really the issue comes with when you're talking about really diehard fans that believe that this show is like God's gift to anime, which it is extremely good. But I've run into so many people that have been, and obviously the voice actors as well, that have been really touched by this show. And I think the people that are able to properly express that and let you know why the show means so much to them, why these characters are so important to them, they've all been so great. And, you know, I know they get a bad rap, but for the most part, most of the people that we've come across are really good. And Eric, you and I are very critical of the show, but, you know, I still think the fandom is okay.
That's fair. That's fair. Those are both really good arguments. And I think both of them have their issues. JJK, and Phil, it was funny you got that considering that you hate JJK. So JJK, though,
I mean, I don't hate JJK. Just
you shit on it almost exclusively all the time.
Yeah, to make you mad.
It makes me very. Makes
no,
me
Eric's very mad because I watched 18 episodes of season one and I didn't really vibe with it. And he's mad that I never finished. But I feel like watching 18 episodes is a fair give in this situation.
Yeah, that first season also reflects a little tough. But I will say the JJK fandom, the most toxic thing about them is spoilers. That's a huge, huge thing with that fandom. It's still, though, I think it still doesn't touch.
This was not fair.
Who wrote these questions? Who wrote these? Because you already did this. You already did
it. It should have been like My Hero and Star Wars. Even though Star Wars isn't anime,
honestly,
Star Wars isn't anime. But like, this is what the comparison should have been.
Yeah, JJK was like a no-brainer in the situation.
Whenever I tell JJK fans, other than Eric, that I'm like, I gave it 18 episodes. It wasn't for me. Everybody has been like, that's fine. That's totally okay. But like Star Wars and My Hero Academia are like, those would have been the two. I know it's not anime, but those would have been the two to compare.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
I know we're also I don't know how much, like, if we're running out of time or whatever, but I do want to say something about My Hero.
We've got as much time as you forgot to mention. Yes, we are good.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right. So, you know what? I feel bad for the bad rap that My Hero has. I love it. I do. But let me just say, as far as I am personally aware of in the cosplay community, no one really cosplays from it that much anymore unless, and this is no offense to them, but like unless they are children or teenagers. And that is because of people just getting absolutely burned by the community, which is such a pain. Like, it's so sad because it is a great series. And it's so unfortunate that like it got as dark as it did in terms of the people who love the series, because I love My Hero. I just don't feel good cosplaying it anymore, even though I plan to cosplay Momo again at some point, like kind of soon. But yeah, it's so unfortunate.
That's a really good point, because some of the like best cosplay we've seen, Eric, the very first contest that we did, the very first Bold Matsuri, I remember a Hawks cosplayer won. Mm-hmm. Incredible. Like, we've seen so much great Hawks cosplay. Tamaki, we've seen really, really great cosplay of that character. So, yeah, it is unfortunate because, like, you do see that. And, you know, there are, with all these things that we love, especially when it comes to conventions, there's good and bad. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes that pops up. But, yeah, that's a really good point about the cosplay, because you don't really see it as much in older cosplayers, especially not anymore.
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not because of like the, oh, well, they're high school kids and I don't want to. I mean, that might be the case for some people. To me, it doesn't matter because most every character I cosplay is a high school kid. That's just the majority of anime. But yeah, I actually have a nice commissioned wig that I paid a pretty penny for, if I can even speak. And it's Momo's wig. It's because I love Momo and I do want to cosplay her more, but I feel so uncomfortable wearing it anymore because people are just so rabid in general when it comes to My Hero. And I'm just like, man, this is so unfortunate because I love Momo. And you know what? Something else I want to say about it is Momo is the greatest female character in that series. And it makes me mad she doesn't have more airtime and they don't utilize her more properly.
I'm salty about it. I love My Hero, but yeah, their treatment of female characters in hindsight now is not fantastic. Not very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
I mean, you could say that for a lot of shonen anime, though, yeah. Which is super unfortunate. Which, another hill I will die on is how Sakura is not as bad as everybody makes her. But we're not going to get into that because I could be here for 30 more minutes just with that.
Yeah, and I was like, let's not get into another maybe possibly toxic fandom. I do agree, My Hero Academia, I think the one that feedback has been received, but the point does go to Sid. We're going to move to round three. Which anime character would win in a fight? So we have the main female characters of Attack on Titan and Kill la Kill. The winner of the or the person who has cosplayed the most goes first in this round. I don't know who wrote these prompts, but I think that's Sid by a slight margin. So Sid, you get to choose here.
That's so unfair. No, you know what, Phil? You do this. Nah, this one's unfair. Phil, all you right, choose. That's fair. You choose.
I'm gonna go. I'll take Mikasa. Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump into it. And Phil, since you picked first, you're going to go first. Why would Mikasa win in a fight? In this fight?
Yeah, I think especially if we're talking about early on, Mikasa, who just had the overwhelming will to defend anything and everything that she loved and that she believed in. Really, ultimately, as far as Mikasa, what I believe in most other than her... incredible physical ability is also just her brain, just her smarts. I think that as far as intelligence wise, I think she would have a little bit of an edge. Now, I've only watched like a little bit of Kill la Kill, but I do intend on going back and watching more before Bull Matsuri. But from what I've seen from both of those characters, and I also think as far as the ODM gear, she would have a pretty big advantage with that as well if she does have that. But I think between her intellect and her physical ability and just having that leg up in terms of the types of battles that she's been in, and she's also very just emotionally prepped for a lot of different fights, I'd take Mikasa in that fight.
All right, so Sid.
Okay, so I think Ryuko would, just by wearing Senketsu, she would be able to automatically bridge the gap between the physical aspects, whereas I think otherwise Mikasa would have been able to overpower her. But I think Senketsu and just the like sheer energy of her and his connection and stuff would be able to bridge that gap. Other than that, I also ironically would say that her emotion would play more into it. So her being more emotional than Mikasa and like fighting that much harder with like all those raw, powerful emotions that she's feeling would like make her even that much more powerful as well. So she would be bringing all of the opposite things that I would say. And I think that and just in general, her having superpowers, because it basically is a superpower, she would be able to bridge the gap and more than beat Mikasa.
All right. Those were pretty solid arguments here. And I'm going to say by a slight margin, and this is probably bias, I'm going to go Mikasa here by a very slight margin.
No, you're so right. You're so right. You're so right. I was pulling that out of my ass. Damn it. You're so right. I thought from the beginning, I was like, nah, Mikasa, easy.
easy. All right. We got a debate going, a battle going. All right. Round four. Which One Piece opinion is stronger? I'm not watching 1,000+ episodes, or this is the greatest story ever told. Phil, you actually get to choose as the winner from the last round for round four. Which one do you want to
debate? How are you not going to pick a non-biased answer here? You obviously believe in one of these things.
No, just, I'm right down the middle.
You were stuttering so much.
If anything has shown in the three rounds so far, I am calling this right down the middle.
God. I can only debate one of these things, so I'm not watching 1,000+ episodes.
Okay. Who would have seen that coming? Phil, you get to kick us off with the debate first. So why are you sticking with that One Piece opinion? Why is it stronger than the other?
Listen, so many people have argued this over and over again. It's the greatest story ever told. We're on this journey to eventually find friendship, which is what it's going to be. You guys are just in denial. I cannot commit this type of time. We already talked about all the other things that I have to commit to. I cannot also watch a show that has so much, admittedly, what people have told me, a lot of filler. And a lot of times where there's like nothing going on, I cannot do that. I mean, we talk about other shows like Naruto and then like Yu-Gi-Oh! Back in the day, Pokemon, like these shows where there's nothing going on for these extreme lengths of time. And if I'm going to watch a show, I'm not going to watch like an abridged version. I'm not going to be like, somebody will be like, oh, you just have to watch these arcs. No, I'm not going to do that. That's just not the type of watcher I am when it comes to television, when it comes to anime. So no, I just cannot commit this type of time, regardless of how good it is. And you should understand that more than anyone, as you have had less time to watch One Piece now that you've been playing Helldivers.
Wait, don't bring me into this, because down the middle. All right, so Sid...
you keep saying that. I don't think you know what that means.
So, Sid, you could literally go on mute for a whole minute and still win here, but I'd love to hear what you think Phil's opinion is wrong.
Oh, no, I got this. Let's go. I'm actually confident in this one. Okay, so, Phil, all that time you spend watching House and playing your emulator, guess what else you could be watching? This is the greatest story ever told. It has 1,000 episodes for a reason. In addition to that, I will also argue kind of the opposite in terms of it has 1,000 episodes, but like each one of those episodes in itself has a great story. Like there's 1,000 episodes of story. How can you not think it's the greatest story ever told? Like I had more in my head, but I'm blanking now, but still. You have 1,000, it's been going for 25 years, 1,000 episodes. Clearly it's doing something right, that there's a huge, massive fandom rallying behind it. Right now, you are just one of the plebs who hasn't understood the power in this story. Because you are, unfortunately, one of those people that is just not watching the 1,000 episodes. And that is just a shame. It's like being handed $1 million, except you have to do one thing. And you're not doing it.
Not doing it. Nope. Not at all. And you know,
I can't spend One Piece episodes. That's enjoy watching Grey's Anatomy anime forever because they don't know how to finish the story. That's why it's been going on for 25 years. They're the opposite of what Cody Rhodes is doing, Eric. They have no idea what they're going to do.
No, stop. It's literally all the great things everywhere, just in anime form. Stop it. All right. Nope. Sid wins. Bye.
This is such a bullshit
now
topic.
Now that the decision is in, have I told you guys that I've only seen about 20 episodes worth of One Piece?
No, you haven't. You haven't. But honestly, that's all you need.
For $20 worth of One Piece cash.
I'd say off episode one, an argument can be made. I love it. I'm getting close to 100 now, and I'm only scratching the surface. I love this show. I'll tell you now, Phil. The way it's going, this show is going to annoy the shit out of you because I'm only going to love it more from here. So I'm just letting you know. It's unfortunate.
That's fine. You don't have to talk to me about it. I'm not going to. You can talk to other people. All hundreds of thousands of you, you can talk to other people. You don't have to speak to me about it.
No, I'm going to talk to you about it specifically.
hundreds of thousands of people who basically have $1 million, but it's all just content.
But you don't have $1 million. You've only watched 20 episodes.
I know.
And you can't even talk to Sid about it because she's only watched 20.
You know what? Unexpected stuff happening left and right, but Sid...
You wait till Jeopardy later.
No! So we're going to do the last round literally for just shits and giggles because Sid has won. Which anime character is less pervy? Denji or Mineta? The person whose name does not rhyme with the word Phil goes first in this round. So I believe
I'm absolutely choosing
Sid.
Dingy. Dingy. Yeah, it's right. Dingy.
Phil's worst nightmare. Going to have to defend Mineta. But first, let's hear the argument. Why is Denji less pervy than Mineta?
Look, even if I didn't love Chainsaw Man with all of my being, I would still have chose Denji because Mineta is the bane of my existence. And he's probably, if I ever had hate for my hero, including the fandom, he's probably the only, like, the front runner of it. But anyway, Denji, though, I feel like is way more respectful. Like, yes, he is pervy, but we're saying who's less pervy? He is less pervy by a mile because he's so much more respectful about it. And at least he keeps it in his fucking head half the time, okay? Because Mineta's disgusting. He's vile. and then, I don't know, like, he's never tried to grope a girl or look under their skirt or anything, but God, Mineta is all up in that trying to get it. Anyway, what am I trying to say at this point? I don't know. I have 16 seconds, but that's pretty much my argument. Denji's so much more respectful. He's just, in general, he's a better character anyway. He's way more fleshed out and less, like, boring and gross. That's all I have to say.
She relieved her time. Okay. I love that. Phil, if you can come up with a concrete argument, I'll give you 3 points and the win here. 1 minute. Mineta, why is Mineta less pervy than Denji?
There goes my...
Oh, my God, Phil. That's we made it a whole... I'm going to restart the time. We made it a whole hour. Get it together. Your minute starts...
No, this is what you did.
Now.
This is what you did. Denji is like one of my favorite anime characters of all time. I have to argue this. I don't know that you can come up with anything. I'm trying to think. I know that he's a pretty integral part to the Gigantomachia fight, right? But that has nothing to do with him being less perfect. I'm trying to think of something like he's gross. Man, he's gross. He was gross to Eri, who's a child, who's a young child. Like, I can't, there's nothing I can do here. I'm trying to think of anything that he has done that is just even remotely redeemable, and I'm trying to think of anything. His quirk sucks. I don't know how he got into class 1A, and he should have been thrown out, so I'm just arguing actually with Sid here that Mineta is disgusting, and even for a teenage character, like, this is, it's gross. I don't want it out on the internet that I have defended this character. I'll put it that way.
I would love to see an argument for Mineta that actually makes me feel like he is less pervy than Denji.
I don't think there is one. Whoever made these prompts really was not calling it down the middle, but luckily I did, guys. So thank you guys for playing until the next anime debate. Phil, I think this is going to be a keeper.
I'm never doing this with you again. I just want you to know.
we'll just figure out the kinks.
I had fun on that one because I won.
We'll figure out the kinks. All right.
Cost me $6.
I have a pretty quick game that we can do called Guess This Movie. Do we want to do a second game and give Phil a chance to redeem himself? Because this is a good game for both of us, but Phil would have a slight advantage here.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. If I'm playing, he'd have more than just a slight advantage.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to share my screen again, and we are going to do Guess This Movie. So for this, the way we're going to play Guess This Movie is pretty straightforward. For round one, we'll have 3 images pulled up, and you just have to guess the film. And we'll see who guesses it first. For round two, it will be a multiple choice question. So there will be, again, whoever can shout it out first. And then for round three, there will be 3 clips that will be played, very, very short clips. And I have a theme for each of these rounds to help us out. So, are you guys ready? Are we ready to roll?
Yeah.
Round one.
Sid is confident.
Round one, I will give you a hint. Round one is specifically revolving around Disney properties. So feel free to stay off mute because this is a shout first game. And here we go. You're going to see an image and then you need to tell me what movie it's from. Which movie is this scene from?
Coco.
I feel like Phil is not going to go easy on you.
He shouldn't, but honestly, we'd just be sitting here in silence anyway, so.
The scene is from Disney Pixar's Coco. We're going to get to our next scene. Which movie is this scene from?
Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
That is very specific and also the correct answer. The scene is from Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
God damn it.
Phil. I'm
sorry, it's the monitor.
Phil is distracted. Which movie is this scene from?
Oh.
The second shitty Star Wars.
You have to tell me the title.
Star Wars The Force is Here.
That sounds right.
I don't know. Okay, there's Force Awakens. Jedi Returns.
No, absolutely not. I don't.
The Force Returns. Jedi Returns.
No. It does have the word Jedi in it.
Jedi Awakens.
No, you're making stuff up.
Kylo
now.
Ren, I'm a Jedi.
All right. Well, neither of you guys are going to get this point then. It is Star Wars The Last Jedi.
What'd I say? The First Jedi?
You said everything but The Last Jedi. It was okay.
I feel like it's pretty close.
All right, we got Phil 2, Sid 0. It's okay, though. That's why there's three rounds. Round 2.
Look, it's fine. It's fine. I bulldozed him and probably still would have if I would have chosen Mikasa first. So I'm going to give him this.
That's fair.
No, he gets his glory. I would have lost 5-0. It would have been not good.
That is fair. We'll go ahead and jump into multiple choice questions. Three multiple choice questions around video game adapted movies. So, first question, shout it out if you know it. Which of these video game movies starred The Rock? Sonic the Hedgehog, Mortal Kombat, Doom, Uncharted. Phil said Doom. It is Doom. Very good. All right. Which of these video game movies received a sequel?
Angry Birds.
Warcraft?
Warcraft was so bad. It was.
What? I liked it. And
did you
also,
see Warcraft, Eric?
What the?
I saw the kill count. Yeah, we'll just say that.
So no, that means he hasn't seen it.
That's not good enough.
No, that's Phil's excuse. That means he watched it on TikTok. Every horror movie he's seen, and that is what that means. Phil will watch the kill count for every horror movie that he doesn't want to watch the whole thing, and I'll just see clips on TikTok. And that's
how I gotta watch the kill count to know that I can get through the whole movie, and then if I like the kill count enough, I'll watch the entire movie.
I don't know. Okay, which of these video game movies recently made over $1 billion?
Mario.
It is Mario. Very good.
You know, I
damn,
know.
You mean it wasn't Detective Pikachu?
I literally looked that up earlier today on in preparation for Jeopardy. So
I'm distraught.
That is
damn.
Funny.
He predicted.
All right. I manifested. Well, Phil does have 5, so at this point he has won the game. But for bragging rights,
no. I got time.
You got time.
Let's make these worth time. Double. Make them worth. Make
them.
Points.
Make them worth double. Okay.
Yeah. Make not them
only
worth 4 points.
Not only will I make them worth double, I'm also going to give Sid a 5-second head start, so you can't speak for 5 seconds.
Oh, okay. God.
Okay. Here we go. Yeah. All right. Ready? There is going to be a clip that plays for about 15 seconds. After 5 seconds,
that's
Phil,
so
if you
long.
Know it, you can shout
okay.
it.
I promise
they're not that straight. They're not that straightforward. These are all revolving around car sequences in movies.
Cars 2.
So, which movie is this scene from?
Oh, fuck. No, I know. Is this Dukes of Hazzard?
It is Dukes of Hazzard. Very good.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. I got one right.
And you've got 2
Holy
points.
Shit.
If you what get the random... next 2 right, you will beat Phil.
What a random selection of
movies. Listen, I do a mixture of stuff here, okay? All right. What movie is this scene from?
Oh, my God.
It literally had the freaking name in the clip. I know it, but I don't.
It did.
I didn't even.
Transformers.
Yeah.
It is the first Transformers.
I that did need.
It had to be either 1
that
or 2.
Second view.
Yeah.
I needed that second view of the car before I could even tell.
All right. So I feel like this one could probably be worth.
Fox.
I think this one will probably be worth about 20 points. Let's go to our next one. 5-second head start. All right, which movie is this scene from?
Fast and Furious, one of them for sure. Actually, it's the first one.
No, she has to give... Oh, damn it.
It is the
definitely
first,
the first one. This is the first one.
It is the first Fast and the Furious.
I loved this fucking scene.
You couldn't even pick an obscure Fast and the Furious.
No,
you couldn't
I
have picked,
this.
Like, Tokyo Drift, which is the best.
I still would have got it. Look, I still would have got it. Unless he would have chose the most recent one.
To be fair, based
Tokyo
off
Drift
that
is
scene,
the best Fast and the Furious.
She didn't even get, look, if I play it again, I don't think she even got, oh, no, there was a car right from the beginning. Never mind. I was like, I think it just showed a cop car.
There's so many cars.
No, so when you said cars, anyway, I was already primed and ready for at least one of them to be from the Fast and Furious series,
you
but
picked,
I didn't
like,
expect
the
first
car
one.
Series.
But I've also seen this movie like 20 times because I loved it when it first came out.
Well, that worked out because you just got 20
I'm filing,
points and you
I'm
are
filing
the
a Super
winner.
Grievance.
I mean, look, I had so much help. I had so many like things that helped me out on that one. So like, honestly, I don't count that as a win, but
I'm filing an HR Super Earth grievance. You and oh man, who should. Is in charge of HR? This guy. Someone's getting a write-up.
Oh man. Oh, well, that was a lot of fun. That worked out really, really well. Phil, not very good at games, as you can see, but we do appreciate you hanging in there and try to give him the win. Sid,
yeah, what a scrub.
What a scrub. This was a lot of fun, super fun, and we appreciate you making the time out to finally get together to record with us. So this will be a great opportunity. Everything that you have, we're going to try to put in our show notes, but this is a great opportunity for you to plug your socials, let us know what you're doing, when you stream, all that jazz, if any of our audience members want to come over and check out your content.
All right. I mostly do Instagram stuff, though I haven't in a little bit. But anyway, caught redheaded on Instagram, _ caught redheaded on Instagram. Twitter is caught, but the U is replaced with the V. So it's Kavat or whatever, caught redheaded. And then I do Twitch under caught _ redheaded. I know they're all different, but look, people really like this name apparently. But yeah, I stream on Twitch on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. EST. And I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I have a TikTok too, but I don't do anything there either. So, thank you guys for having me though. This was really fun. I feel a little bit more successful coming out of this one than the last one. That's for sure.
Suck it, Andrew.
I know. Yeah, Andrew.
there we go. Phil, if you want to kind of close us out, Sid, thank you so much for joining us, Phil. Close us out with everything that they need to know if we have new listeners from Caught Redheaded's audience, if you're checking out the podcast for the first time, or if you're an existing listener, you already know how this is going to go. Phil, take it away, and we'll close this baby out.
Yes, and thanks so much for hanging out, and we can't wait to see you at Bull Met Surrey here in a couple of months. Everything, as we mentioned, is going to be in the show notes of this episode. All of Sid's links, all of our links, the Linktree link in the show note is where you can find all our social media pages, the ones to keep up with the most being our growing Discord page, Instagram, as well as TikTok. We also have just recently started streaming on Twitch, as I mentioned earlier in the episode. Typically, we're going to be doing those on Thursday nights as well, but it is kind of all flexible as of right now, just as we figure everything out. You can support the show a couple of ways. First, you can head on over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave 5-star reviews. All that stuff helps with the algorithm and shoots us up the charts, gets more eyes on the show. And you can share the content. Let everybody know that we're listening or that you are listening. Let us know that you're listening. All of that goes such a very, very long way, and we very much appreciate it. But if you want to go maybe above and beyond with your support of the podcast, Eric will let you know how you can do that.
So in addition to all the free stuff and, of course, joining our ever-growing community on things like Discord, you are able to go ahead and support us directly through our Buzzsprout page, or you could take those funds and move them and become a patron, where patrons like Briar and Stefan are supporting us over on that platform. And in exchange for that, they're getting access to behind the scenes and early access to episodes like this one. So feel free to check out our Patreon, support us there. But the likes, the comments, the shares, the engagement, the listens, all of that truly appreciated. With that being said, we have reached the end of our episode. My name is Mr. Eric Almighty. That is my co-host, Phil the Filipino, and Sid, aka Caught Redheaded. Please don't forget, we release new episodes for the podcast every Wednesday with some bonus content on platforms like TikTok while it's still around. And all you gotta do is wait for it.
So, I heard you're looking for a go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming?
Wait for it.
Anime?
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino?
Yeah, they've got you covered.
And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.